Hello, everybody. This is Bill Cameron from The Drive. Podcasts of The Drive are presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, now hiring for great-paying skilled trade positions. Call 334-209-6355 to learn more. Thanks for listening.
Back on for Thursday, and so we were back Thursday and Friday, unable to take calls those days. Now, I saw Terry just a few minutes ago, and he is working on the phone system, and as we come on the air today, I believe we're going to be able to get calls on the air. However, it's still, all the kinks aren't worked out, let's put it that way. Because what will happen is your phone call will automatically be directed into our board. We're not able to screen calls. So if you dial our number, the Drive Hotline, which is sponsored by Skybar, 334-321-1390, the phone will ring and you will then hear a shh type sound, which means your phone has been answered, the phone call has been answered, but it automatically is in wait mode in our board. We were just trying it. I mean, it's just been installed, and we were trying it in the break at the top of the hour. And I can call, and the call can get on the air, but the handsets basically on the phones don't seem to work. It automatically puts this in queue for us to take the call. So we will not know who we're about to talk to, and you, sadly, will not hear programming, I don't think, because on the test calls I made, I wasn't able to hear programming. So I don't know if you'll be able to hear anything until we bring you up. So we're asking for your patience. Hey, but we're also asking you to help us as we sort of beta test our new and hopefully improving phone system. Did you just call and it went in? Did you hear the swoosh sound?
I heard the swoosh.
Remember, that's the old sound. That's the old sound from years ago we used to hear when a phone call was brought on live through a board. You'd hear that shh type sound.
That's a switchboard sound.
Yeah. So the problem is we can't answer it. I mean, it auto-answers and puts you in queue. So we'd love for you to call in, and it should put you in queue. We won't know, you know, who's next. We're going to be sort of playing a guessing game with our calls.
So when the phone rings,
doesn't matter how quick you are.
No. The trigger. Drew can answer it and immediately. I mean, we can have the call potted down. So when we go to the caller, you need to identify yourself because
right.
It's the first time you're going to talk to anybody.
We won't know who we're about to speak.
So we're going to do Larry King style.
Yeah.
Who's the caller? Caller, we're on the line. Like, where are you calling from? Who's this?
That's what it used to always be.
Yeah.
Before
Drew got in the way.
Right.
That'll be fun. So we think we should be able to maybe even take some calls today.
Yeah. Are you worried? Are y'all trying to?
Wait. I don't hear Brian.
Oh, hello.
I'm hearing him a little bit more now.
Oh, okay.
You hear me?
Yeah. Okay.
I was going to say, is Drew's job in trouble now? Does he need to be worried?
No.
Okay. No. He still needs to be able to run everything. Okay.
We're still several weeks away from technology being able to do Drew's job for him. So
several
weeks. We can't write him off quite yet.
Well. Yeah. So that's where we are today. It's another step forward, as I said the other day. You know, each day hoping for another step forward. There's no telling. I see a flash over there. That probably means we're getting a call.
Something is going on.
We have a caller, I believe, in queue. Now, again, I don't believe the callers at this time are able to hear programming. They can't hear us yet. Maybe since it's brought, have you pushed the button to bring them in?
I think so.
All right, let's see. Let's see.
All right. on the line. You're on the air.
Did you push the right? There we go. Let's try that.
Can you hear us?
There we go. It sounded for a second like we had somebody.
All right. Okay, good start, guys.
Yeah.
Well, my test a while ago seemed to work. Let's try it again. Can you hear us? It may be a concern. Maybe they can't hear anything coming back. I'll tell you what we'll do.
We're not going to try this all show long.
That'd be a good way to fill 2 hours.
All right, well.
No, we'll actually have some things to talk about.
We're on Friday. I'll be right back.
Yeah, that's right. We'll try this again during the break. We'll use our phones here and try them during the break. So in the meantime, we'd encourage you to text us on the Drive text box.
That's right. The text box presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available however you listen to podcasts. You can text the show 334-564-1840 or access the podcast however you listen to your favorite podcast. Go to your favorite podcasting platform or go to ESPNAU.com and use the podcast platform. That's all presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors.
He's Dan, I'm Bill. You heard Drew's name mentioned, and you've probably heard Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com. Welcome back, Brian. Hey, long time.
Yeah, really.
Brian was in here with us on Friday. I was going to ask everybody how their weekend was. Brian, yours probably a little busier than the other three of us in here.
It was a working weekend.
Yeah, really.
Had 8 official visitors. I thought it went great with those. We can talk about them as the show goes on. Had a big camp on Sunday. There were some prospects there, too, we talked to. So I thought it was a good weekend for the football team.
Oh, that's good.
How commonplace is the way Hugh Freeze and his staff are still relentlessly recruiting the best high school players? Is that the status quo at the top of college football? Is that what the best programs are still doing? Have places pivoted to more being, you know, more reliance on the portal? I've heard that it's a change from what Auburn has been doing in recent years, but is it still like is he keeping up with the best teams in college football by doing stuff like that?
He is. Yeah. I just think there are a handful of coaches who are capable of doing this as a coach. You just do not see enough coaches around the country that can do all this. You know, they climb up the ladder, they go through this, they get to head coach, they feel like they have all these responsibilities and they want to put recruiting on the staff and on the assistants, and Hugh Freeze understands that if you're going to compete with the top recruiting coaches in the country, you have to be at the tip of the spear. You have to be the one that contacts these kids, that texts these kids, that talks to these kids on FaceTime and what have you, and be that point of contact for them. And I think that's really hard for so many head coaches. I just think there's a small number, and I think Auburn is fortunate to have one here, and this is what Auburn has needed, sorely needed, for 2 decades, in my opinion.
Well, we will, we talked about it on Friday. Don't necessarily expect, and Auburn didn't get any commitments from over the weekend, but the initial reports or the responses from the players, the participants, seem very positive.
Very positive. And, of course, maybe the biggest news coming out was Caleb Cunningham.
From Mississippi.
Number three wide receiver in the country, I believe, said Auburn was his leader.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really big news because he hasn't necessarily named a bunch of schools, favorites, or leaders going through. I think at one time he may have said Mississippi State was a leader a while back, but I'm not even sure he's going to officially visit Mississippi State. But he's got a few more visits to go. He is coming back for Big Cat, and where I'm not expecting a whole ton of commitments from Auburn through this official visit period of June, there might be some. I think as we get into July, and especially Big Cat, is going to be an incredible recruiting time for Auburn.
Yeah, Big Cat is sort of set up as the last weekend before everybody is practicing and getting ready for seasons, high school and college.
Yeah, and you saw how successful it was last year. Auburn, one of the big moments was Perry Thompson flipping from, was it Alabama to Auburn, and jumping in the pool with Hugh Freeze. Well, Caleb Cunningham spent a ton of time with Cam Coleman and Perry Thompson and Bryce Kane and Malcolm Simmons and those guys, and they're going to get him back to that Big Cat, and they're going to try to get him to do something similar, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I just really, really like the job that these coaches and the staff and Hugh Freeze are doing in recruiting right now.
How important is on-field success this fall to keeping a 2024 or 2025 recruiting class intact? I mean, I know a lot of those guys, you have the early signing period, but you know, in this day and age, college football, guys don't necessarily want to jump on board a ship that is listing or right. or worse. And so that's where, you know, proof of concept on the field feels like it would need to. I guess my question would be, how important is on-field success to continuing recruiting momentum for Hugh Freeze?
I would say it's vital in 2024. Vital. And it's not always the most important thing, because you can sell a lot of different things about your mm-hmm. program and about your past and what you've done in your offense and everything, and chance for playing time. But when you go back and look at what happened to Florida last year and year two under the head coach of Florida.
Billy Napier,
thank you. He had this great recruiting class together, and then he went out on the field, and they really floundered. They struggled. There was a lot of negativity around the program. He ended up losing a lot of the best players in his staff. He ended up falling apart a little bit, and now he goes into year three on the hot seat. So Hugh Freeze needs to take that step, right? He needs to have a winning season. Mm-hmm. He needs to have everybody excited about the future of football. I don't think that's a big ask. I think he can do that. I think he's a similar roster that can do it, as long as the quarterback can, you know, fulfill his needs there or take care of his business. But I just think they've got to get it done to a degree, a step forward, to have this continue into 2026 and 2027.
I agree that there definitely needs to be a step forward. I don't know that it's as critical that you get 9-10 wins, but I think it needs to be an obvious improvement, and it needs to be something that these guys that they're recruiting feel like, man, that's what I want to be a part of. The style, the system, the everything. I think that needs to work. But yeah, you can't go out and go 5-7 and expect those guys to hang around.
I mean, I would point out, I mean, last year's team was a win against New Mexico State away from being 7-5.
Yep.
So if you're talking about improvement, I mean, I really think you're probably, I mean, I think it's,
well, I don't think it's just the numbers.
It's not just the numbers, but I think what you just said is tough to sell with a 7-5 regular season.
Yeah, well, I think it needs to be, I think it probably needs to be 8 wins and an exciting brand of football on both sides.
Yeah, and with Auburn having struggled
I think they ought to do that.
No, but I would point out that with Auburn having struggled against teams that finish above 500 of late in SEC play, you would need to beat someone along among the likes of A&M, Oklahoma,
and
Kentucky.
You would think with an improved roster they could, as close as they came to Georgia and Alabama last year.
And not even necessarily going 3-0 in those three games, right? You probably need to win, I would say, between Missouri, Oklahoma, A&M, and Kentucky. You probably need to win two of those four to feel like things are going in the right direction. And then, I mean, that's assuming you beat the teams that you would think, oh yeah, Auburn should beat. But I would say between A&M, the A&M and Oklahoma, which are home games, Kentucky and Missouri on the road.
You definitely can't go 1-3 against those four teams.
I think 1-3 in those four teams and losses in Tuscaloosa and Athens.
Yeah, I mean, if you go 1-3 in those, then you'd better pull off the huge upset.
Yeah. That's the recipe for 7-5,
right?
Isn't it 1-3 in those four
and two losses?
That's what I'm saying.
You go 1-3. If you go 1-3 in those, but you beat either Georgia or Alabama on the road, then you're still 8-4, and it's you're scratching your head over why you lost one or two of those three.
Napier was 6-7 year one, 5-7 last
year.
Right. That's the wrong direction. He may turn it all around and be a great coach in the SEC and coach for.
But if he doesn't do it this year, he's not going to get the opportunity, I don't think, at Florida.
So you don't want to be in that position if you're Auburn. If you watched recruiting at the end of last year in December, every coach in the SEC, it was like a pack of wild dogs on Florida's commitments, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, they were just all
over Auburn. Auburn got their share.
Yes, they did. And they almost got another one.
Yeah.
And heck, they may get him next year, you know, if he transfers out, if the coach leaves. That's why you want to have those relationships. But that's just what Auburn needs to avoid. And I think they can, and I think they will.
Well, and I think the other part of that would be the games that you're chalking up going into the season. You know, you can't have, just like New Mexico State last year, you can't have a catastrophe against it wouldn't be a New Mexico State level catastrophe, but if you lose to Cal or Arkansas in one of those, I mean, I think people assume Auburn's going to be 4-0 when Oklahoma comes to town. If you throw a wrench into that by slipping up at home against Cal or Arkansas, you know, to your two Power 5 opponents in that five game stretch before Oklahoma comes to town. Suddenly, Oklahoma goes from a game that would be really nice to have because it would show momentum to, boy, you better not be 3-2 when you go to Athens, or it's going to be, you know, world of hurt early on. And so those, you know, those two, I look at that, you know, that Cal game and that Arkansas game, even though you beat Cal in a very close game last year in Berkeley. Arkansas was astonishingly one-sided in Fayetteville, and I think even more astonishing that you're going to see Sam Pittman again a year later after the way Auburn beat that Arkansas team a year ago. But if you slip up in one of those two, it changes the complexion of how badly you need those other six. You know, the six games Auburn is going to play against teams projected to go to bowl games. I guess Cal would be a seventh, but you know, you can say, oh yeah, Auburn needs, you know, one or two. But if you lose one of the one of the so-called if you blow one of the layups, suddenly you need,
you got to make it up.
Suddenly you got to make it up somewhere.
You got to hit a crazy three somewhere if you do that. All right, well, we're just underway. We need to get to our first break. We'll check the equipment while we're in break. So in the meantime, give us a text at 334-564-1840 as we continue here on the Monday Drive.
Hey, this is Billy Plummer here with Apex Pest Solutions. I want to thank everyone who voted Apex Pest Solutions for best.
With Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7
and online at ESPNAU.com.
To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Monday afternoon. Bill, Dan, Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com. Drew at the controls. You may have heard in the commercial break my voice like pop in the middle of a commercial. That was the only way we could test to make sure things do get through. Again, I believe we can get your calls on, but be aware that you will not hear any thing. You won't hear programming, commercials, or us until we ask who's on the line. I think once Drew pushes the button, they'll be able to hear, maybe. If you don't hear anything then we're out of luck with the phones today.
Yeah,
we're not going to do it all show long, but I still want to see. I know that we can get calls in. We could do a wild test like right this second.
We're working on it.
Okay. I'm going to do this. I'm going to dial in, and I know you'll be able to hear me. If I can't hear you, then we'll tell people don't worry about calling. All right.
All right, so Bill's typing on his phone and calling in, urgent to get these to get this back in. Drew is now answering the phone.
Am I coming? Yeah, you're hearing me.
My headphones don't work. So,
all right, Brian, can you hear me?
Yes, I did.
All right. Yes, I understand the problem. The problem is the callers can't hear. So we will not attempt phone calls anymore today.
So you're not hearing.
That's what I needed to check and make sure.
The callers are not hearing anything.
We can hear the caller, okay, but that doesn't do an awful lot of good when the caller can't hear.
All right, so the caller's not hearing anything. The board is not communicating to the phone.
At first we were thinking it just wasn't the board that was coming through, but they're not able to hear anything.
All right, so that's that idea on
us. So we'll set the phones aside for another day, but we're a step closer. Callers can be on the air.
That's right. A phone, phone line can be answered.
Right. So
an incoming call.
And can be brought on the air.
It can be brought on the air. It just can't communicate with you.
I'm sure there is a simple. This is something I have full confidence in Terry Harper to be able to figure out how to get the board fed back into the phone. So
we're getting closer.
Yeah, we are. We're closer. Just think of where we were last Tuesday and Wednesday.
That's right. We weren't anywhere.
We weren't able to be on the air.
I was in the desert.
You were. And I might as well have been in the desert.
That's right. You were in the pool.
Well, I mean, I meant as far as being able to get the show on the
air. You were in the pool, though.
I was in the pool.
I was going to say.
I'm sure I was in the pool last Tuesday and Wednesday.
Well, what's so Arkansas's out in the College World
Cup. You have five SEC teams that are out. Florida, just before the show started, I checked. Florida was leading.
Bottom of the sixth, Florida leads Oklahoma State 4-2.
All right. That is an elimination game. You have four SEC teams that have advanced to Super Regionals. Texas A&M and three teams from the East. Kentucky, Georgia, and who is the...
Tennessee,
advanced, yes. Yeah. Kentucky, Georgia, Tennessee, and Texas A&M are in Super Regionals. And... I would say they all look like pretty good shots of hosting those Super Regionals. But Florida is playing today, and LSU and North Carolina will get underway in about 35 minutes to see who advances there. So it has not been a great regional. It hasn't been a great round of regionals for the Southeastern Conference, Brian. You've already got five of the 11 SEC teams out, and two more having to win today to get in.
Yeah, but there were 11 teams in, and there's still
a chance
you can get four or so in the College World Series, which is still
pretty amazing. But usually they're more there still could be six, but usually there are at least six, it seems like, in Super Regionals.
And the biggest surprise is Arkansas not winning the Fayetteville Regional, I would think.
Yeah,
and
they
were the number five team overall in the draw, and they're going home after, they had a slow start early. Like they were in a situation yesterday where they needed to win three straight games without losing one if they were going to win the regional, and I believe they dropped the first of those three games to SEMO to get eliminated in Fayetteville. The other one's Mississippi State, right? Starkville, the hosting the Starkville regional, and they're going home as well. So
yeah, South Carolina. Not only are they not advancing, they are looking for a head coach.
Alabama with
South Carolina fired their coach today.
That's right. Alabama dropping games to what was it? Stetson was the elimination game, mm-hmm. And Alabama eliminated from their regional in Florida as well.
Vandy was eliminated early.
Thumped by
they were
Coastal.
Overrated all season. That to me was one of the worst losses that Auburn had, was getting swept up there.
You think because the uniform said Vanderbilt? I know you don't usually say that in the SEC, but because the uniform said Vanderbilt and they've been so successful in baseball over the last decade, half decade or so, you know, people maybe were expecting more of that team than the talent on the field actually necessitated.
Yeah, I mean, they do have talent for sure, and they did play better the second half of the season. I just
often when I think of overrated in college athletics, I think of, oh, you think this team is something they're not because of the uniform. Oh, you think this team is...
Yeah, although I haven't been able to that hasn't been the reason to explain the love for Texas A&M the last few years in football.
No, not as much. You're right. That's more... I think that's more looking at recruiting rankings and thinking
this talent should win more.
Which is a good reason to expect things out of teams. Yeah. I mean, when they finish, you know, high up in the recruiting rankings, usually there's, you know, there's a... That usually... leads to success on the field, but in the case of A&M is so interesting this year because the team has there's been such roster turnover
and Mike Elko in there, and it appears that nationally a lot of folks have high expectations again.
Absolutely,
despite quite a few of their very highly touted signees over the last couple of years leaving.
Although Mike Elko was able to retain, I think there's still two or three players projected to go in next year's first round draft that were. In the first round of next year's draft that stayed at Texas A&M, including Evan Stewart, the wide receiver. So, I mean, there is talent there to work with. Some folks love that quarterback, right? Wegman, you know, still think that guy's going to piece it together and have a great season before it's all said and done in college football. But, yeah, year one with Elko, I feel like the whole spectrum of maybe he could have a season as good as Jimbo's best year. Maybe that they could really struggle to figure things out with the amount of roster turnover that they've had.
Yeah, would add Florida's up 9-3 in Oklahoma in softball right now.
Oh, okay.
Florida's got twice to make the finals, but still, that's big. Anytime Oklahoma loses anything in softball, it's
no kidding. So
final month as a Big 12 team for both of those. Both those programs. I saw on social media, Oklahoma, and I think Texas is doing it too, but both have big July 1st celebrations planned on campus, to commemorate their first day as official members of the Southeastern Conference.
Yep. I don't know if they're prepared for the hate of the SEC. Maybe it's like that in every conference, but, you know, it's coming.
Ooh, you know what? They would be better prepared than just
I don't think those two schools would be. Yeah, I agree with you, Dan. I think they're probably a little better prepared than a lot of teams would be.
And you know, in Texas, I think because they go into the season, I was on Doug Amos' show earlier today. I did not go get a milkshake, Bill.
I went by. I didn't get a milkshake.
Okay, but Doug was in town.
Not after the health check that we had earlier today.
Max Roundtable. You know, I was able to call in, and he was talking about Texas and Oklahoma joining the conference, and Texas really is. I mean, there have been years where it would be a really tough first year in the SEC for Texas. There have been years where that roster was in flux, or they weren't sure about who was the head coach in football. This seems like a pretty good scenario for them. They're going to go into the season as a preseason top five team. I think most folks will have them as one of the favorites. You know, mm-hmm. Georgia and Texas will probably be your teams. You know, people.
Yeah, I would think so.
I mean, so it's a year where. I mean, they're gonna come and talk in a big game, but they should have the roster to back it up. Oklahoma, that's a really tough schedule, and they were up and down last year. I still think Venables is a very good coach, and they.
I think Oklahoma may be a little better than some people think, just because they did struggle a lot more than anyone thought last year. But it seems like I feel like it may be a little too quick to just be. Having them drop back into average or below average.
No, I'd be careful about that. I mean, maybe they won't do to the SEC what they did to the Big 12 when Bob Stoops was the head coach and they were winning, you know, 11 games a year every year. But I still think that Brian, you follow roster management. Oklahoma's got a pretty good squad. You know, they've been able to win some of these battles on the trail over the last couple of years and get some players in. And Brent Venables knows what he's doing at a big time school.
Probably, yes, but I'm not completely.
You're not totally sure.
No, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, everybody thought Billy Napier was a surefire thing at Florida. So, and, I mean, you've got to see.
You look where Venables came from, Clemson. That's a program that was on top of the world for a decade.
I mean, he had high praise from Nick Saban, Dabo Swinney. I mean, he had, you know, the track record looked very, very good, that he went and won big, you know, at the mid-major level. So and he'd recruited very well everywhere he'd been, and he continued to recruit at Florida. But you got to win.
And they won 10 games last year. You know, people forget, you know, 10-3 season last year for Oklahoma in year two. For Brent Venables, I mean, it's in a year where I think people still look at, well, beyond Texas and Oklahoma, what exactly is this Big 12, and you know how many mm-hmm. marquee victories can you pick up? But that's
they beat Texas.
Yeah, they did. Like
it's funny because the perception I think a lot of people have is, oh, Oklahoma's a 500 team. It's no problem. That's a slam dunk win for Auburn. I hope so.
I mean, the first four for Oklahoma before they come to Auburn. Temple and Houston. I believe the Houston game, is that in Norman or somewhere? No, that game's in Norman. Okay. So Temple and Houston and Tulane go to Oklahoma back-to-back-to-back. John Sumrall, year one for Tulane. That's that's not necessarily the Group of Five program you want on the schedule this year, because they've been, I mean, gave Ole Miss a real scare just last season, Tulane did. Oklahoma opens conference play at home against Tennessee. And then goes to Auburn a week later. So I mean, it's
sounds like 0-2 to me.
I mean, and they've got Houston and Tulane before that too. But I mean, between Tennessee and Oklahoma, I mean, well, Tennessee, Auburn, and Texas are the first three for Oklahoma. They've got the bye week after Auburn before they play Texas and Dallas. But those are the first three conference games for Oklahoma in league play.
Well, Oklahoma gets a much their welcome is not as warm to the Southeastern Conference as Texas's schedule.
And part of that's because Oklahoma, one of Oklahoma's four home games is that game in Dallas against Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, because they treat that as a neutral site game. So Oklahoma only gets three SEC games in Norman. Tennessee, Alabama, and
that's
just the third one.
That's a great start right there. You only get three home games, and they're Tennessee, Alabama, and somebody else.
Tennessee, Alabama, South Carolina are the three are the three Norman home games for Oklahoma. They play.
So the rest of their conference games are away from Norman. That is tough. Well, that is tough.
The four true road games are in Auburn, Ole Miss, Missouri, and LSU.
That's three L's right there.
That is a tough, tough
and then
schedule.
And then Texas at the State Fair.
Yeah, like,
that's a brutal draw to begin even for a team. And again, 10-win season. Last year for
that was Big 12. This is
for Oklahoma. That's
lucky to be 500 Texas and Oklahoma.
We'll see. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. they've been really good. I've seen Auburn play them a couple of times. It hadn't been fun.
If Oklahoma opens conference play with a home win over Tennessee and a road win at Auburn, though, like they're a 5-0 team playing Texas, probably in the top 10, Bill.
If they've done that.
If they're 5-0,
they're 5-0 and have beaten Tennessee and Auburn to open SEC play. Yeah, they're top 10.
And
Tulane, their name is Oklahoma.
Tulane would be one of those five wins as well. And that's going to be a national television win. Tulane could be a top 25 team early in the season. It's not out of the question. So yeah, I think Oklahoma's got a chance to it's a tough draw. It's an opportunity because if you beat Tennessee and Auburn. You're a top 10 team going into the Texas game, and you got a chance to put everybody on notice in a 12 team playoff season.
I just realized we need to get to our bottom of the hour break. We are way behind. Again, if you want to be a part of the show, text us on the Drive text box 334-564-1840. It's brought to you by Southeastern Industrial Contractors. 5 o'clock here on this Monday afternoon. Bill, Dan, Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com and Drew at the controls. Again, we apologize for the problems that were really completely out of our control. I mean, it was the old Mother Nature, the electrical storm that took out most of the electronics. We're glad that we're back on, and things are getting better daily. We have new phones that are being installed and in testing them out. We can hear callers. The problem is the callers can't hear us. So we're a step closer, though, because there was nothing happening with the phones that we had. Those things have been.
We've come a long way from when Thursday's show started.
Oh yeah,
with 20 minutes of dead air.
You're right. Yeah, I think we know when we're on the air. We do have the streams back. So so you can check us on the podcast.
Thanks for being patient, everybody. You know, we'll probably most of this will be fixed by the time football season starts. So
you're right about that. I mean, because it'll be very difficult for us to do a lot of things if we don't have more of these. I know they'll be fixed. I feel very confident that shortly, I'm not saying today, but I think very shortly we'll have the phone situation straightened out. It's great to know. I mean, look, Terry has been working day and night through the weekend, and he has new phones that are being installed. The next step is just to make sure that they work. I mean, he had just gotten them hooked up during On the Line, so he really hasn't had a chance to be in the studio and here at the board and checking things out.
I think we'll get this thing ironed out. Don't put it in quite yet, Bill. That's something I want to talk to Drew.
Oh, okay. All right.
We're waiting to see. Is there recruiting? Do you get the sense, Brian, that Hugh Freeze is mostly finished with the 2024 team, or do you think there could be an addition between now? I mean, there's still players in the portal. There are still junior college players who want to play D1 football this fall, looking for homes. Do you think the roster is mostly finished now? If not, where do you think they could? Did they add a defensive back after Colton Hood left?
No, they did not.
That would be my main question.
That would be one. I would think a running back.
Right. I mean, it's nothing. Again, I feel almost queasy, like factoring in, like there's nothing to report on the Sean Shivers front medically since
Brian
the
Petit.
Update. Or I'm sorry, Brian Petit. Nothing to report on the Brian Petit front since 2 weeks ago. The update from Hugh Freeze about the tragedy, the shooting in Sarasota regarding the Auburn running back in his hometown. As you said, I mean, I think Auburn would probably I think so. I think you have that position before the season starts. Yeah, if possible.
Probably feel much more comfortable if you had a fourth scholarship running back.
To answer the question, I don't know of anybody that actively pursuing the
program
at the moment, but I'm not completely closing the book yet. I think basketball is 100% done, but I'm not sure on football yet. I'm still waiting to
post Kelly. I think that basketball. I don't know where exactly the roster. Yeah, I don't know what they would be looking to add with the addition of Kelly. I mean, they've got a pretty solid rotation of guys. I mean, you could play five guys off the bench if you wanted to, and depending on who the point guard is and what you're doing in the backcourt, like I think they'd feel pretty good. So I wouldn't. I would agree with you on that front that it's the addition of the Georgia Tech player is probably the end of Bruce Pearl trying to add to the roster.
But I think football wise, if not mistaken, Champ Anthony was added about this time last year.
He was. Yeah. He was
sometime early June.
It was late. It was late. And I mean,
he came out of junior college. So.
Right. I'm sure there are some players that they're evaluating, and it's not. I mean, they don't have to have a starter at a spot, so it's not like that. I mean, it's just finding someone who's the right fit that can fill, you know, perhaps any roles that they feel like they might need a little help.
I'll tell you what, if you're in the portal right now, and you don't have a pretty good idea where you're going.
Oh yeah,
this fall.
You're hoping, yes, please.
Yeah. I mean, you're sending that
film out to anybody.
I would say that. That's what April and May are. Now, like a lot of players go into the portal with a pretty good idea of where they're going to go. You know, but the ones that don't, you know, you got April and May to build a market for yourself. You got April and May to find a home, because if you get into June and you're still in the transfer portal and not really anybody's priority, I wonder.
You're in trouble.
I wonder where you're going to play this fall.
I don't know if Steven Johnson has found a place yet. He's one that I still haven't. Found where he ended up, the defensive line.
Yeah, you know, I have not heard. So that's
so there are a few, there are some out there for sure.
Well, there are plenty out there, and just good luck to them finding a landing spot. I tell you what, let's get to our final break, because there's some news from the baseball transfer portal. We'll get to that when we come back here on the Monday Drive.
Hey, this is Billy Plummer here.
The portal, pitcher Cameron Keshock, Trevor Horn, third baseman Gavin Miller, outfielder Caleb Freeman, Alex Wade, and second baseman Ty Malden.
Yep, and actually the only one that's really surprised me a little bit is Caleb Freeman. I thought he had a chance to come back and maybe be
a freshman this past year, right?
He was a junior college transfer.
No, that's right. First year guy, though.
So
that's right.
Right, but he does have 1 year left, so I can understand why he didn't want to risk that and go somewhere where he knows he can play or have a spot in the lineup. But the Stanfield has been expected going back a couple weeks. And, you know, I think as far as his character, as far as a young person, you're not going to find a better one than Chris Stanfield.
Oh, yeah. I mean, did great things for, you know, with his fundraising for the Miracle League.
Absolutely. So I think everybody in Auburn is hoping he lands in a good spot and has a successful junior season. I think there's a pretty good chance that Kay Ballou could move into that center field role.
I agree. He's a big guy, but he covers that area just fine. Mm-hmm.
And Auburn needs to find some right-handed power to add this lineup.
Mm-hmm.
And the easiest place to find that is corner outfield.
Right.
And I think that's
it's corners, period. I mean, usually it's going to be, you know, it's corner infield or outfield is usually where you're looking for pop.
So, and what a bonus it is if you feel like Cade's glove plays at center field, because the bat, I mean, you feel good about what the bat could do over the next couple of seasons. And like you said, trying to upgrade the lineup, you look to add power at the corners. We'll see what Auburn does. I mean, some of the infield spots. I mean,
we'll find out whether Cooper McMurray decides to come back.
Derek Fabian will be back. He'll have a chance to hopefully take a step.
I mean, he's a guy that at times was like, wow, and you know, just had up and down in his first full year of getting a lot of playing time.
He had like an 0-for-21 streak that really set him back a little
bit. But then he just like gap power that he showed
finished really strong. Mm-hmm. So. And Auburn's got some freshmen, I think, that people may have not seen a whole lot of, but could be really good in year two. Eric Guevara could be a really good player next year. I think the staff and his teammates think that he's a really talented young man, but he was coming back from an ACL, which isn't easy. Cole Edwards, who was that other freshman.
Right, outfielder, there you go. That's right.
Is another guy with a big, powerful bat. Just needs to work on his defense to get in the lineup every day and just get more at bat so he can get used to, you know, hitting college pitching more. Alex Petrovic was a promising young freshman who threw a lot early and then got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
But he will be back, I think, later in the fall. And then we finally saw Griffin Graves, that little lefty. He's got a lot of pop on his fastball. Come in the final inning of the season and strike out the side, I believe, in that final game against Alabama and do really well. That was good to see. So, and of course, Cam Tilly's coming back. Kel Strickland, who showed a lot at catcher.
So do you think that this is pretty much going to do it for guys jumping in the portal? I mean, it's just day one.
No, I think there's probably some more guys that
okay.
can do it.
I would think.
Possible.
We knew there was going to be some turnover. I mean, after a season like this, I mean, there's going to be some changes.
There needs to be some changes.
Yeah, and I mean, really, really highly touted class coming in. Led by a dozen pitchers, right?
Yeah, the top four players in that class are pitchers. There's 12 of them in that class. There's also some good position players, too.
Mm-hmm.
But I still think the portal will be pitching first.
Well, right? I think it's got to be
that problem.
Weekend, if you can get weekend rotation guys.
Yep.
I mean, if you can get a couple of the, you know, you'd love to get two. For sure, you've got to have one at least, but you'd really like to get two.
And maybe one guy you can rely on the back end, because Auburn didn't necessarily have that. They had a lot of ups and downs in the back end of that bullpen this year. And then corner outfield, of course, at least one middle infielder with some pop, you would hope. And we'll see what Cooper McMurray does, right?
So. Right. Yeah, so, I mean, there'll be a lot to keep up with and keep an eye on there. When does the – now, one thing I don't know, what – is the baseball transfer portal 30 days? Is it – or is it 45?
I'm not sure.
I'm not sure either. But, I mean, it just opened today, so it'll at least be through the end of the month and the first couple of days of July. It may go into the middle of July. Again, it's a reminder that this is just for players to get in.
Yep.
They don't have to make a decision when the portal closes. They just have to be in it by then. So, another thing to be keeping an eye on as we head toward summertime. All right, it's Bill, Dan, and Brian here in the studio on this Monday afternoon. We'd love for you to join in. Again, we apologize. The phones aren't quite back to normal, so please text us if you have a call, question, or comment. 334-564-1840. We'll get to our top of the hour break back with hour number two of the Monday Drive.
Is an Auburn Network production.
Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome into hour number two of the Monday Drive. Hope everybody had a nice weekend. It actually turned out a little bit nicer, I believe, than expected. There was a forecast for a good bit of rain over the weekend, but it was actually pretty nice. So hopefully everybody had a good weekend and ready for another week. We're here in hour number two of the Monday edition of The Drive, and the second hour of the show, as usual, brought to you by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com. Again, in case you weren't with us in hour number one, we were sort of recapping our situation from a week ago when the electrical storm had damaged most of the equipment here in the studio, and we were fortunate enough to get back on the air Thursday. Have not had phones. The phone system was, I mean, completely fried, and our chief engineer, Terry Harper, has been, working, you know, every day, nights, weekend, trying to get the as much back together as possible, sort of the I wouldn't call our board Humpty Dumpty or anything. It's very, very nice board. But the electronics can be a little touchy when it comes to surges of electricity. But the phones were out, and so he has brought new phones in, installed a new system, and still don't have all the kinks worked out. We are glad to let you know that we can hear callers now when they call in. But the sad part is they're not able to hear us. So we'll pass on the phones one more day, but it's great to know that the system is getting put in. Terry hasn't had a chance to really test this while the board is in place, while we're not sitting here at the board. So I'm confident that that will be resolved soon. But in the meantime, you can still communicate with us via the text box.
That's right. Text presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors, 334-564-1840, the Drive text box. Southeastern Industrial Contractors also sponsoring the podcast, available however you listen to podcasts. Go to your favorite podcasting platform, search for The Drive with Bill Cameron, or go to ESPNAU.com and use the Podcast Center.
Yeah, Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com with us here in the studio after a busy weekend.
We didn't talk about the Monday Musings at all.
No, we haven't gotten there yet.
Chatting about stuff. And presented by
Uncle Keith's Red Sauce, delicious, made right here in the state of Alabama. You can find it at Kroger's here in Auburn, Opelika. You can find it at Publix, Piggly Wiggly, and Renfro's throughout the state and neighboring states.
I tell you what, if they're not selling Uncle Keith's Red Sauce,
demand it.
They're not stocking the best Southern style salsa in the game around here, and you need to let them know about that because you're
it's
right.
Because
outstanding stuff. You can find it in a bunch of different places, and we're all fans of Uncle Keith's here in the here in the studio. And Brian,
in fact, I think it's time for us to restock a little more.
I may have a nacho night coming very soon. Nice. That could use a splash of Uncle Keith's on the menu. But Brian, so what did you get into today in the musings?
The Kinks.
Oh, all right.
54 years ago, and of course they were part of that British invasion back in the 60s.
They're a group that it had like two or three sort of surges.
Yes.
I mean, they had You Really Got Me and All Day and All the Night, which mm-hmm. is basically the same song with just different I mean, it's the same chords all the way through it. But I mean, they had some big hits. They were huge in the early British invasion, and then they came back and were pretty popular in the early days of MTV as well.
They were. They had
Ray Davies.
Come dancing.
Yeah. That's it. Yes,
and Lola, right?
Lola was that was after the initial surge of the British invasion. Then in the late 60s came Lola, and then they came dancing a little later.
And of course, if you're
Ray Davies and some really interesting. Kinks songs that may not have been as household, but I mean some really good stuff.
And I mean, if you've been to any party anywhere, you probably heard Lola 100 times, right?
Oh yeah, like absolutely
a staple.
If you're a Star Wars fan like me, of course Weird Al did Yoda to the tune of Met him in a swamp down in Dagobah as the.
But I think there's a pretty good story with Ray Davies, who was the lead singer of that group most of the time.
Yeah.
He had to fly from New York back to London to re-record a lyric for the BBC to play Lola. The original lyric said, "Tastes just like Coca-Cola."
And he had to change it to Cherry Cola.
Cherry Cola, because the BBC wouldn't allow
a product.
Brands, right,
that's right,
to be in the name of the song.
Mm-hmm.
So he had to do that actually twice.
And it's funny, depending on where you hear, where you're listening, right, you'll hear both. You'll hear each version.
Yep. And the Cherry Cola version ended up number 7 in the U.S. And the Coca-Cola version was number 7 in the U.S., and the Cherry Cola reached number 2 in the U.K. singles chart. So,
yeah, but it is an all-time classic.
Oh yeah,
I mean, I remember the Kinks from way back. So that's good stuff. I hadn't had a chance to see the musing today.
Yeah.
What was the occasion?
It was 54 years since the day he had to fly from.
Oh, okay. To go back and change the lyric.
Yep.
What'd you touch on sports wise in the?
I just talked about the return of Tumor's Corner.
Nice.
It's been a long time. I mean, you can go back to 2010 and the poisoning, and then the trees being planted planted, replanted, replanted, right? We had the fire. And then finally, is it 6 years? I think the trees that are there now were planted in 2017. So what,
yes,
seven years?
That sounds right.
Yeah. So finally, in last year in August, they were finally approved for rolling. And now we finally got some, you know, things to celebrate here in Auburn, roll those trees again.
So. And I know some people who went to the golf commemoration this weekend. You know, said it felt like, you know, felt like old times, felt like an old school tumors rolling. And I know the university put out a video. Not a lot of student athletes in town right now. I mean, you have the ones that are enrolled for the summer, but you know, a lot of them are doing other stuff. But the ones that are in town, a lot of them came and celebrated with the golf team as Auburn. I mean, it's, as we mentioned last week, I mean, Auburn hasn't won a national championship in a men's sport since the 2010 football championship. You've had multiple equestrian national championships since then, but it's women's been it women's track as well. But it's been it's something to celebrate when a program like men's golf wins a national championship, and hopefully Auburn will get to celebrate another national championship in another sport soon.
I mean, this is what makes Auburn such a special school to me personally. It's the great traditions around the programs, and especially football. And when you have these big football wins, getting everybody out there at Toomer's Corner, and then a little bit later in the evening, the players and the coaches come out there and everybody's celebrating. I mean, that's to me, that's what Auburn is. And we just haven't had that in quite a long time, if you think about it.
No, you're absolutely right. So that's good. So, encourage folks. Check out, AuburnSports.com is great stuff. I mean, from all the coverage that you guys do to the columns to you guys still doing rundowns?
Yeah, we'll get together tomorrow and do one. Should have everybody in town ready to go. So, yep.
You're expecting this to be, I mean, I'm thinking like the next 30 days, the next 60 days could be a pretty busy time for Auburn football recruiting.
Well, it's going to be 2 weeks of visitors and camps, and then nothing until basically
then you get a break.
July. That doesn't mean there won't be recruiting news, because all those kids that took those visits will be making decisions between.
But they won't be on campus.
Right. So it's going to
so
be.
So that's really everybody's busy. Vacation time.
That's right. But very busy over the next 2 weeks, and then a little bit of a lull, kind of, and then back at the end of July to really get it rolling again.
I'm trying to think of that. There are a couple of other Kink songs that I'm trying to remember. As I look outside, Sunny Afternoon.
Yeah,
lazing on a sunny afternoon in the summertime. You remember that, Dan?
I'm thinking Come Dancing and Lola would be the big.
Well, post. You really got me.
Yeah, but from that post, you really got me in
all day and all the night. But I mean, Sunny Afternoon was huge. What was the song about? Something about fashion. that's gonna hit. Man, this kills me, because I mean, those are songs I used to play years and years ago. And there's the other one. There's that you don't hear anywhere that we probably won't talk about. All right, we'll get to a break here shortly. But while we're talking about recruiting and things like that, Brian, I mean, let's talk about some of the guys that came in this past week. And Auburn had 8 official visitors, and then quite a few. Future targets that were in for the elite camp.
They were. I think the biggest news coming out of the official visits, Caleb Cunningham. He is the number 3 wide receiver overall, number 20, I believe, nationally by Rivals, maybe a little bit higher than that. But he left the official visit saying Auburn was his favorite. Spent a lot of time, of course, with Derek Nix, who he's known, I think, since the 9th grade.
Hmm. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yep, and really hung out a lot with Cam Coleman, Perry Thompson, Bryce Kane, Malcolm Simmons, Auburn's freshman receivers, which is a great sign.
Mm-hmm.
Talked about wanting to be a part of that group. We'll be back for.
Well, they were looking for a fifth last year.
That's right. So I just got a good feel from him coming out of that. But he's still got big visits coming up. Trying to think in order what they are, but it's Florida, Tennessee, Florida, Alabama, maybe or something like that, or maybe it's Florida, Tennessee, Alabama. But he's got 3. Big visits coming up. He's also still considering Ole Miss and Mississippi State. He at one time called Mississippi State his leader. Of course, that's not the case now. So that's going to be a really close one to watch. And we're really big to get him back for Big Cat here in another month and a half or so. I think Auburn's the leader for Broderick Shull. He didn't necessarily.
Yeah, that sounds like things went very, very well.
Yes, very, very well. And he's got visits Texas
and
Tech.
And he's a big offensive tackle.
He is big old offensive tackle, very, very athletic. And I think Auburn's a team to beat going into those final two visits for him. Some guys I would put on flip kind of watch, you know, for sure. Elijah Melendez, who is a very impressive middle linebacker, number two middle linebacker in the country, from Kissimmee, Florida, committed to Miami, but really like Auburn's. I don't want to say I really like the Auburn's chances to flip him, but I think Auburn's got a legit chance to do it. I think he had a great visit to Auburn. I think he really connected with DJ Durkin. I think those two guys think a lot alike, and I think they would be perfect for each other. If you go put in Elijah's film and watch it, and watch him blow up a pulling guard or a fullback or somebody, you will fall in love with this kid immediately. He is the definition of a physical football player. I think he could play in the 80s and 90s and certainly with his athleticism in 2024. Another guy I think that potentially could flip is Amiri Winston, the tight end from Calvin, Georgia. He's a Texas commit, but I think the option of playing closer to home, playing in an offense that plays a lot of two tight ends, 12 formation, I think good chance, you know, pretty decent chance Auburn get him. Name Offord is another guy, committed to Ohio State. He's a five-star cornerback. I think Auburn has work to do, but I think Auburn took a really important
first step. They're definitely, I mean, they're not going to stop working.
Mm-mm, no. That
the young man from Parker.
And you get guys like you Freeze and Coach Crime involved with these young men. They don't give up. They don't quit. They keep, mm-hmm. they keep going after them, and a lot of times they end up winning. And then another guy I think Auburn has a really good chance of landing is Blake Woodbey. He was committed to Ohio State until about a week or two ago, but he was in number six cornerback in the country from Baltimore, Maryland. He's got a couple more visits left. He said he wanted to put it off until later in the fall, midseason maybe, but I think he really liked what Auburn was offering, so we'll see.
Yeah, he had some very complimentary things about it. Just, I mean, most of the guys, I mean, just talked about how Auburn blew him away. They weren't expecting as much.
Yeah, there's nobody that came in. And Kaitlin Edwards is the other one I didn't mention. He was formerly committed to Auburn. All right, there's a good chance he gets back in the class. We'll see. He's a nose tackle, I think, a big 300-something pounder that could play in the middle. Then Ty Buster was here, an Auburn commit from Kannapolis, North Carolina. Pretty much firmed up his commitment this weekend, but Mills still might take a couple of visits. We'll see.
Really, really sad news about Larry Allen today, too. I don't know if you guys saw the...
No, I didn't.
So Larry Allen, Cowboys offensive lineman, starter the 90s and 2000s.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Finished his career with the 49ers, passing away suddenly earlier, I guess it was Sunday, on vacation with his family in Mexico. He was 52 years old, was an all-decade team in the 90s and 2000s in the NFL, started multiple 11 Pro Bowls, Pro Football Hall of Fame in 2013, spent 1994 to 2005 with the Dallas Cowboys, winning the Super Bowl in 95, finished his career as a 49er, grew up in Compton, California, was once stabbed 12 times while protecting his brothers during a fight, finished his college career at Sonoma State and played for the Dallas Cowboys. There's a among his feats of strength, there's the video of him bench pressing 700 pounds during a Cowboys workout. Wow. But Larry Allen, just a sad piece of news there as he passes away unexpectedly during a vacation with his family in Mexico. Just 52 years old for Larry Allen. Yeah, a guy who was a one of the best ever at his position. And just three players were picked to the all-decade team in the 90s and the 2000s, and he's one of them. Willie Rofe and Warren Sapp, the other two players to be honored like that. But yeah, one of the an all-time great, Larry Allen, passing away this weekend.
All right, we're going to get to our first break of hour number two. Stick with us, and you can join us once again by text 334-564-1840. That's the Drive text box, presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors. We're right back here on the Monday Drive.
What's up, 7? And online at ESPNAU.com.
To be a part of the Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Drive here on this Monday afternoon. I mean, some of the things that we discuss here in breaks, are really pretty interesting. I mean, we're talking, we get into music because of Brian's musings and the fact that Dan and I are serious. Yeah. Music.
Well, I think you work long enough in radio, and you start to appreciate.
Well, when you got started in radio, and it wasn't, you know, it wasn't sports that you got started in.
No, I was, yeah. I mean, Destin had, you know, we'd mix 103
and Eagle, for years.
102. Yeah, we were. Wasn't.
So I mean, you read album liners or you know things like that, and you heard some things, but I mean, yeah, some of the we were just talking. This would be a fun one. On a really winning, there is absolutely nothing. Keep this one in mind. We'll do this. Songs that never mention the title. Those are tough ones. I mean, because sometimes it's like, oh, yeah, I knew that song, but then what's the name of the song? Is it the don't listen to the words to try to figure out the name of the song. So we were just talking. So, yeah, you've got one. You just told me here when you were talking about the Kinks. The name of the song doesn't bring it to mind. But apparently Rolling Stones got it as their top-rated song and one of the top 15 songs of all time.
Well, reading the Wikipedia page for the Kinks, Waterloo Sunset was the song that Rolling Stones has.
I've got to pull that up and play that.
Rolling Stone magazine had it's on a it's a single from.
I'm sure I know it.
From May 67.
I'm sure I know it.
You know, a Kinks song that they've got as one of the top 15 songs of all time on one of their recent I don't know which version of the they've done different 500 greatest songs of all times list or updated them or something, but one of the iterations of the list had that as one of the as one of the great songs of all time. So yeah, it's a Kinks song. I'm not terribly familiar with it.
Well, that's the thing. I feel like I must know it, but just didn't know that was the title or something. So, we'll check into that during a break or something. 3-3 I started to give 3-3-4. I did. Well, I can still go 3-3-4 and then go 5-6-4-18-40 is the drive text box. Hey, the phone number is still going to be the same. The drive hotline will still have the same number, and you can call it. But you won't hear anything.
I don't know. You don't.
We'll get to see the lights light yeah. up. You could, we're not going to try to bring you on the air.
You could call it, but you shouldn't. You shouldn't. Yeah,
if you want to hear, if you want to hear a phone ring and then a shh.
Yeah,
that's all you're going to hear.
To be clear, you shouldn't. You shouldn't right now.
I don't know. I want to see how many times the phone will light up.
More so than usual, you shouldn't right now because of the.
Well, there aren't many times when you go, don't call. We're on the air, but don't call us.
I mean,
but you know what that sounds like? That sounds like we pre-recorded it.
Yeah, exactly right. We'll let you know.
We don't do that.
No. No, you know what? If we'd pre-recorded the show, we'd have edited out the part where Bolt tried the phone line himself live.
But you heard me. You could hear me on the air.
Yes, we did.
The bad thing was I could not. I could hear you guys here in the studio, but there was nothing coming through.
You know what's crazy is that pre-transfer portal, you know, there was 4 months of this.
This was
the offseason.
You're absolutely right. There were three solid months for sure.
But before Auburn got good at basketball, there were 6 months of this. Boy.
Somehow, 30-something years ago, Jim Pfaff and I convinced management that we could go year round.
We did
the first year round show in the state.
There you go. That's big time.
Yeah, and there wasn't much basketball talk. It wasn't a whole lot of anything. It was it was recruiting. And it was depth charts.
And probably talked about his hometown in Kentucky a lot.
Oh yeah.
Well, this is the I guess last year would have been
the first day we went year round. Jim got a last minute, so he said, speaking engagement, and so I had it.
Oh boy,
I had it. I looked at the log. No commercials.
Oh man,
no commercials. I had no audio set for that day.
But 7 minutes of material.
We changed the time. I mean, did all that like on the fly on the day of on the Monday.
Wow.
And it was like, yeah, we'll start doing it, but we're going to do it a different time, and you're going to do it by yourself, and there's no commercials.
Good luck.
And somehow I'm still here. An hour is a terribly long time.
Oh, no.
When you don't have commercials. Yeah. I mean, we're making sometimes you're going, oh, God, we're 5 minutes away from the next break. Five minutes seems like an eternity. Just try it for an hour.
No, I think we've all had particularly dry periods there.
I pulled out the newspaper back at the time. I mean, there were still newspapers. Right. Pulled out the newspaper and went through, I think, the standings in both major leagues, but the winning percentages and everything that I could think of. I mean, it was awful. I will read you today's Montgomery Advertiser.
Here are today's personal ads. You're the worst of ads.
That was back before audiobooks. I was doing an audio newspaper for them.
Oh, man. So we were saying earlier in the show, Auburn's men's basketball roster mostly finished with the addition of Kelly. You know, yeah, you'd think it's.
I'd be surprised if there's any other there's any changes to the roster.
Football things could materialize between now and August with Auburn looking for. I would think
you'd like to have it done before the end of this month, because the second summer term, you'd sure like to have Brian. If you're going to bring somebody in, you'd sure like to at least them to be able to work out with the team and be understanding some terminology and stuff. But I wouldn't rule it out. I mean, we've seen players not be able to make it in until August.
That's right. So you never know. Maybe somebody pops up. Maybe there could be a graduate transfer that enters the portal. There could be a junior college player that has to work hard over the summer to get eligible and does at the last minute that they want to bring in. So you never know what could happen. But the only two positions I think you mentioned earlier, maybe a DB cornerback for depth and maybe a running back for depth would be the two areas they'd probably look at.
Yeah, I mean, obviously at running back, I mean, you still feel very good about the talent that you have, but it's just in fact you only have three. At corner, you have a lot of talent, but it's not as proven.
Right.
I mean, after your starters, and you've got Keontae Scott, who's been a nickel moving to corner, and Kayan Lee, who was a part-time starter as a true freshman last year. So that's why you'd like to have, if you could find somebody that's got a little experience there at that corner spot.
And their back, I mean, Jay Crawford, who's a true freshman that enrolled in the spring, could be one of your number one backups there. Mm-hmm. He's going to be a really good player, but...
It's a big bet on Antonio Kite, right? I mean, Spooty Kite would be somebody called on to play a lot, I think, right now, if Auburn doesn't add a defensive back between now and the start of the season, I would think that Kite would be one of the next men up
You got Jay Crawford are both real possibilities for those number two cornerback spots. And then Keontae, of course, could always move over to nickel if you need them to behind Champ Anthony.
I mean, and I don't know who's out there. I mean, if you found an experienced guy or somebody really stepped up at corner, absolutely Keontae could move back out there where he was so good a year ago.
And then Amon, Lane Gaines. Yep. I think he's a nickel. I don't know how ready he'll be to play year one, come off injury or anything. We'll see. But that is an area that's a little bit short on depth, I feel like, and certainly an area that they did not want to let Colton Hood leave, but he's at Colorado now.
Yeah, so, I mean, there will be some more player movement again, so just as we were saying earlier. I mean, just because the portals, the windows have closed, players that entered the portal still can move. All right, we'll get to our bottom of the hour break. We've got a half an hour to go. Stick with us here on the Monday Drive. All right.
And 106.7 online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Monday afternoon. Bill, Dan, Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com. Got Drew at the controls. As we move on here, let's see. What's send any update? I have not checked that. Florida looked like they were well on their way in
softball?
Yeah, no, in baseball. In baseball.
They won softball.
They won baseball as well, 4-2 over Oklahoma State. Right now, the last SEC team is LSU, and North Carolina scored two in the top of the first, It's funny. The game now. This is at Chapel Hill,
yep.
But since Carolina was the host, they were the home team yesterday, and LSU won. So that means LSU is the home team, and they have come back. It looks like LSU is homered in the bottom of the first to cut that lead to 2-1. This is a time when, man, you really test the depth of your pitching staff when you're playing with both teams with one loss here. LSU trying to become the sixth SEC team in into the Super Regionals, while they've got five teams are in, five have been eliminated, and LSU is playing North Carolina, and that one's 2-1 after one in Chapel Hill.
Of course, that was the site of Auburn's – was that – no, that was – a. That's where they went to the College World Series the last – not the last time, but the time before.
Time before, yeah. Mm-hmm. Two other games on tap to determine Super Regionals teams. Oklahoma is hosting UConn as they look to move on. So, Oklahoma looking to make it to a Super Regional, and they will play Florida in softball one more time. To see if they can get to the title match, most likely against future SEC opponent Texas.
Yeah, that would be something, but I think a lot of people are a little weary of Oklahoma and would love to see somebody else in there, so we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, Oklahoma's been
the dominant
program in softball for so long. And Texas, you know, an outstanding season. They went into the postseason as the number one team this year. You think about adding that to an SEC where every team that fields a softball team made the postseason. I mean, the league next year, yeah. I mean, it's just going to be, you know, the stakes are going to be incredibly high every week.
Vandy may be going, and we're not going to ever field a softball team. When I look at that competition.
Vandy's probably asking some other folks, you sure you want to do this?
You want to come roll with us?
Yeah, you want to roll with the doors? So, I don't know. Hey, how about Tucapita?
Yeah.
You know what we're talking about?
Padres infielder. Now, I hadn't heard an update since a couple of hours ago, but he is being investigated for gambling on baseball and facing a lifetime suspension.
Wow. Would be the first player banned for gambling on baseball since Pete Rose, although there have been fines for other players for gambling
on other sports.
Gambling-related infractions, but mm-hmm. Peter Marcano, who was on the Pittsburgh Pirates last year, tore his ACL last season, allegedly.
Yeah, I believe he came up through the Padres organization before he went to the Pirates.
Placed bets on the Pirates, allegedly.
So he bet on them to win.
While he was, we don't know. We don't know what he bet on them to do, Major League Baseball allegedly receiving information that Tucapita Marcano wagered on games involving the Pirates while he was on the team last season. He tore his ACL, was on the injured list while he placed the bets, which were flagged by a sports book and reported.
Tucapita needs to find an interpreter.
to take the fall for it.
Yeah,
find one. Of course, the NBA suspended Jonte Porter for life earlier this year for disclosing confidential information to gamblers, and of course he also limited his participation in at least one game to impact results of the wager. Four other minor leaguers in Major League Baseball or in baseball are facing potential discipline for gambling. Let's see here. You've got players could be suspended for even for a year for gambling on major league games, even while they are in the minors. Of course, baseball sensitive about this because of the Pete Rose incident, as well as the 1919 World Series when the Chicago White Sox were It was thrown, the World Series.
The Black Sox.
Yeah, yeah. Thrown by the Say It Ain't So Joe and what have you. But it's not a household name, which would probably make it a bigger story if it wasn't somebody, you know, this is kind of a marginal.
Yeah, he's not an everyday player.
Marginal baseball player, but I think we're going to see more. I mean, I'm not saying, oh, we need to go back to gambling only being legal in the desert and in Atlantic City or something. But I think that as you make it more available to everyone, I think you raise the possibility of scandals like this and players, you know, whether it's gambling scandals involving. I mean, we're probably I would brace for this to impact college seasons more moving forward than it already has. I mean, you remember you had the scandal just was it 2 years ago, a year ago with the Alabama baseball coach?
Yeah,
you know that crazy deal. So I mean, I think scandals like this are probably going to become a little bit more commonplace as gambling and gambling on sports becomes more commonplace in society. And that's it's unfortunate because 24, 25 year old who's probably facing a lifetime suspension from Major League Baseball.
Yeah, so that doesn't seem like big news, but it really is. We've talked about quite a few subjects here on this Monday. We're getting to the time where folks are starting to make plans for their media days and things like that. You're planning on heading to Dallas,
that's,
right?
That's my understanding. Is that the we're gonna take the Kia and drive out to?
Are you serious?
I don't think we're springing for plane fare.
Yeah, I guess not.
Yeah, I think we're taking the Kia out there and driving from. That's what it's
Well, we'll get it in Franklin, get it all ready to go before we head out.
Yeah, we'll take the Jambulance out there.
I had already figured where I won't go until Doug today. I stopped by and spent a little time with Doug after you were on, and Doug said, "Oh, it was his understanding that part of the deal for SEC accredited media was he was led to believe that included a trip to the Home Run Derby."
Oh, well, no one's told me anything.
Well, that's like, I went, well hold on. I need to go.
The conference has been pretty cool about taking us to events and things hosted. Yeah. Last year.
But it hasn't been like Major League All-Star Game week.
No, those things haven't been going on. No. last year, the City of Nashville Tourism Bureau and the Tennessee Titans held a function in the Titan Stadium, and there was going to be a party on Broad Street. That was the one canceled by the weather and the storm.
Well, you know what I think they should do? I think they should, instead of having the kids out there feeling, I think they should put the SEC media in the outfield for the Home Run Derby.
Yeah,
I would pay to watch that.
No, I mean, of course,
I don't want to be there on the field. I'm a little past my prime, but I would pay.
I mean,
to watch. SEC media shagging the line drives and the fly balls and the grounders in the outfield.
We're not gonna have to catch any of them. I mean,
you're not. Well, you watch the 10-year-olds try.
The kids, yeah. Well, they don't know any better. So the kids are out there.
That would be. I swear the SEC network could carry that and on a pay per view thing, and I would buy it.
See, now at that point, Bill, just go full.
Wouldn't you love to see Dan?
Oh, I would love to see
it. I would
not put myself.
No, that's what I'm saying. But I'd watch it. I'm sure want to see some of the guys out there, and then wonder if they make it back alive.
with so many people, though. I mean, there's very little movement too. I mean, you got the outfield's low with people.
Well, it should be shading right or left. Yeah, no, that body. I mean, Pete Alonso. You're backed up against the left field wall. You're out against the right field wall.
At that point, we just play a game. Forget about the Home Run Derby. At that point, it's SEC. Let's go. East versus West.
I don't think people care about watching the celebrity. That celebrity.
Yeah, there we go, Bill. Celebrity baseball.
I think celebrity fielders for Home Run Derby makes a whole lot more sense. That. Yeah. So I may send a note to Birmingham if I can't go. See, the reason I wasn't going to go is because the Styx Foreigner John Waite concert's right in the middle of media days. So I don't know if I could get out there and get back. What else have I got to do? Oh, the show, I guess. That's about it. I'm out. That's it. That's all I had.
waiting for somebody else to chime in here. But
I've been filling a little bit of time. No, like we were saying. I mean, that's what folks are already getting excited about that and reading all the a lot of the preseason publications and I heard some. I was hearing Doug was talking a little bit about the FBI. I heard Jacob and T-Bone talking about that earlier today. I mean, the expectations. It's that time of year where most fan bases, look, it's spring, and the old hope springs eternal thing. I mean, most fan bases are thinking, yeah, we're going to be better. Well, we're going to be as good.
In a year where they've expanded the playoff, I think it changes what that means too. Because I mean, before when you had a 2-team playoff or a 4-team playoff, you didn't have Ole Miss and Missouri about making the playoff.
No, they're realistically thinking. Yeah, that's not going to happen. But we can still have a really good year.
But I think this is a year where Missouri and those two teams in particular. I mean, I've seen folks who predict 4 or maybe even 5 SEC teams in a 12-team playoff. Absolutely. And that opens the door for teams beyond Georgia and Texas and maybe Alabama as well. I mean, that could be. I mean, what does a 10-2 season get Ole Miss this year? Does that get them in? Does a 10-2 season get Missouri into the college football playoff? And so, yeah, I think that's a different. It's not just that. Yes, everybody's optimistic in May and June about what kind of season they had, but also like what a good season could mean is different, because before it was like, oh, we're 8-4, 9-3, that maybe gets us to Tampa. But now
you're thinking 9-3 might get us into the playoff.
Now you know, a 9-2 team with one game left on the schedule could be right in the thick of postseason contention, and there's no telling. So yeah, I think that's something where, I mean, half the league, maybe even more than half the league, is thinking, you know, if we win the games where it's supposed to be close, you know, if we win all our close games, maybe we're a playoff team this year.
And it also means a loss early is not as damaging. Not nearly as damaging as it has been when you had a 2 or a 4-team playoff.
Depends on the loss. I mean, I think that if you lose a game that doesn't project as one of your 4 or 5 toughest games.
No, but I'm saying, but if you come back and win, you could have a disappointing loss and then come back and win 9 or more ball games and still be in.
Oh, I would say what's different about college football in an expanded playoff is that now the second or third loss isn't damaging the way it used to be, right? I mean, you used to lose your third game.
Yeah, you lose that second one, and you figured you were out.
You got no chance of winning the national championship after loss number 3.
Auburn's situation in 2017, then it's like, okay, so you lose the SEC championship game. No biggie.
Yeah. You're still firmly in. Going to be one of the top 12, and you're still going to have a chance to compete. Yes, I think that's – I mean, the way that – because what you're describing – When they only took 2 to the college football championship, you'd say, oh, that we lost. It's over. And 4 opened the door up a little bit for teams to play their way back in. Now with 12, it's still all in front of you.
Oh, yeah.
As long as you're, I mean, really, as long as you're in contention for your conference championship, it's still in front of you. And even if that slips away, you can still hope to backdoor in as the number 10 team, number 11 team, number 12 team, if you take care of business. But no, I think a lot of teams that, you know, we don't usually talk about playoff contender Missouri, playoff contender Ole Miss, playoff, how about this, playoff contender Kentucky, right? Because if they get to nine wins,
the problem for some of those teams. Is they're no longer in the SEC East,
where they used to be. It used to be much easier to get to 7 or 8 because you were playing largely East opponents. You're right.
All right, we will get to our final break of the afternoon. Stick with us as we wind it down here on the Monday Drive.
ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back in. Final few minutes here on the Monday Drive. Our thanks again to Brian Matthews, who was with us on Friday. Appreciate you coming in on Friday and again today. I mean, while we're still, you know, gradually getting everything working back, I really appreciate it. But it's always great to have you with us on Mondays.
Enjoy it. Love being out here and talking to Auburn Athletics.
What's on tap for you here over the next week or so?
Well, they got an official visitor. Auburn does come in Tuesday. He'll leave on Thursday, I believe. That's Donovan Starr, the cornerback. And then this weekend, they've got a handful of official visitors. And they've got a couple of camps, I think Thursday and Friday. They've got 7-on-7 camps,
mm-hmm.
and then another elite camp and a O-line, D-line, big man camp, too.
Okay.
So plenty going on, let's just put it that way.
Oh, yeah, there's no question. And as you said, I mean, it's going to be busy here for the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, it will be. And Auburn is going to take some big steps toward the future of their program over these next 2 weeks. If they can close on some of these guys, win some of these big battles, and I think they will, they're going to set themselves up with another top 10, maybe a top 5 class of 25, and you tack that on to what they did at the very end of 2023 and the number 8 class of the country in 24. Suddenly, you've got a roster now that is climbing up that ladder toward the top of the SEC and not languishing in the middle to the bottom.
Brian, what positions or what areas are there some areas that you really feel Auburn is targeting or should be targeting for the upcoming class, for the 25 class?
Well, they're going to have to find a top quarterback. I think Juju Lewis is certainly
the top target,
and he will be in on June 14th. That's going to be the biggest recruiting weekend, not next weekend, but the weekend
after. Well, that's the weekend before it shuts down, right?
There is one more weekend, but right now they're not planning on bringing in any players. They want to get them all in those first 3 weekends of June and get it done then. Because a lot of times, if you schedule somebody for that last weekend,
they may not make it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So get them in when you can. They want to sign one running back. They want to sign a couple receivers. They want to sign 3 tight ends, 5 to 6 offensive linemen, all freshmen if they can get them.
Mm-hmm.
And they've already got 3 commitments there.
Right.
And I like them for at least 2 more right now, including the kid.
Shull.
Broderick Shull, who was in this weekend. On the defense, they've got to get a couple of young nose guard types.
Mm-hmm.
They signed a great defensive line class, but most of those guys are DNs and
outside guys. Yeah.
And need to continue to reload at the edge rushing position, at the defensive end, defensive tackle positions. They just need to – I think they've done a good job of linebackers having veterans, and they've signed a really good class last year of talent freshmen, but just continue to add good players there. And then I think they need another good secondary class numbers-wise, safeties and cornerbacks and nickels.
Yeah, they've got some really good young ones, but, I mean, you can't – there's no way anymore you can't go, well, here's what we have, so this is what we'll have 2 years from now.
Yep.
You have really no guarantees of what you're going to have next year.
The thinking is that if you're getting, especially at the highest value positions, the places with position scarcity, like if you can solidify quarterback, offensive line, receiver, pass rusher, coming out of high school, you have less work to do in the portal, right? I mean, you can find some other spots. You can lean on veterans at some of the other positions and cycle guys in and out, but the spots where you just don't see impact players in the portal very often. I guess quarterback would be the exception there because so many quarterbacks switch teams. But a lot of those other spots, you don't
left see. Tackle, edge rushers,
receivers,
lockdown cornerbacks, and great receivers. Yeah,
those guys aren't switching teams in the portal. You're getting those guys out of high school and reaping the benefits of that down the road.
And when they do, you have to pay a really high price to get them. Yeah. Auburn wants to get to where they're recruiting so well every year and high school players that they've just got to fill out spots, 3 to 5 spots every year in the portal, and not be having to bring in a dozen to sort of roll over the roster again and again.
You're hoping it's guys that left.
Your best players are playing and sticking around until they move on to the NFL.
Yep.
Yeah, so great stuff, Brian. Again, let everybody know how they can keep up with everything that you guys have got going and how they can follow you.
I appreciate that. Tons of recruiting info this week. You can check us out at auburnsports.com. You can follow me on Twitter, /X, and Threads at BMATAU. And, of course, please check out Uncle Keith's Red Sauce. You can find it locally at the Kroger's and Publix, Piggly Wiggly, and Renfro's across the state and neighboring states. Delicious.
Thanks again, Brian. Brian Matthews with us here on the Monday Drive. We're back tomorrow, and hopefully another little step forward as we continue to get everything back after the unfortunate electrical storm from a week or so ago. That's going to wrap things up for the Monday edition of The Drive. Have a good one, everybody. We are out of here.